Nipaha Tan Rochamanan Swarucha Brahmaputro Pamanava Prapracha Padama Prita Prashraya Vanato Nipaha Tan Rochamanan Swarucha Brahmaputro Pamanava Prachcha Padama Prita Prashraya Vanato Nripaha Prachamanan Svarucha Padama Prita Tam Rochamanan Swarucha Brahmaputro Pamanava Prachcha Padama Prita Prashraya Vanato Napa Prachcha Padama Prita Prashraya Vanato Nripa. Ladies, Tan Rochamanan Swarucha Brahmaputro Pamanava Prachcha Padama Prita Prashraya Vanato Nripaha Tan Rochamanan Swarucha Brahmaputra Pamanava Prachcha Padama Prita Prashraya Vanato Nripa Tan Dem Rochamanan Glowing Swarucha By their own effulgence Brahmaputra Upaman Just like the sons of Brahma Nava Nine Praprachcha, he asked, Padama Pritaha, transcendentally overjoyed. Prashraya, with humility. Avanata, bowed down. Nripaha, the king. Overwhelmed by transcendental joy, the king humbly bowed his head and then proceeded to question the nine sages. These nine great souls glowed with their own effulgence and thus appeared equal to the four Kumaras, the sons of Lord Brahma. Purport. Srila Sridhar Swami has pointed out that the word Swarucha indicates that the Navayogendras glowed from their own spiritual effulgence and not due to their ornaments or any other cause. The Supreme Soul, Lord Krishna, is the original source of all light. His brilliantly glowing body is the source of the all-pervading Brahmajyoti, the immeasurable spiritual light that is the resting place of innumerable universes. Yasya prabha prabhavato jagadandakoti. The individual soul, being part and parcel of the Lord, is also self-effulgent. In fact, everything in the kingdom of God is self-effulgent, as described in Bhagavad Gita, Natad pasyate suryo na shashanko na pavakaha yadgatva nanivartante tadtama paramam mama. It has already been described in many ways that the Navayogendras were pure devotees of the Lord. Being completely Krishna-conscious souls, they naturally radiated the intense effulgence of the soul, as indicated here by the word Svarucha. Srila Sridhar Swami has also pointed out that the word Brahmaputra Praman, meaning equal to the sons of Brahma, indicates that the Navayogendras were on the same spiritual platform as the four exalted Kumara brothers. It has been described in the fourth canto that Maharaj Prithu received the four Kumaras with great love and reverence. And here King Nimi is similarly receiving the nine sons of Lord Rishabhdev. Receiving exalted Vaishnavas with love and reverence is standard spiritual etiquette for those who desire progress and happiness in life. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadhati Shapadantikam Vande Hang Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalang Shri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Shagrashatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Stam Safivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamstra Hey Krishna Kuruna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Panchako Patarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Vyevacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namo Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Shri Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Tan rochamanan sarucha brahmaputro pamanava praprachcha parama prita prashraya vanato nirpa. So the first thing is Swarucha, they were effulgent. In the first canto, when Parikshit Maharaj met the cow and the bull, he said, "Your face is black. What is causing you to suffer?" Because the face is the index of the mind. Several times in Bhagavatam, when someone is undergoing great anxiety, it's mentioned that the face is dark. And on the contrary, when a person is joyful, then the face is bright. Even when they're materially so-called enjoying, their face becomes a little bright, relatively speaking. Then what to speak of the brightness of the face of a person who's tasting the happiness of the spiritual world? Brahmabhuta prasannatma nashochati nakankshati. Even the impersonalists have a... If they're genuine, We went to visit one time on Padayatra, Kanchipuram, and we got the darshan of the Shankaracharya of Kanchipuram. There were three, a very elderly man and then a younger man who later got involved in all sorts of politics and unsavory things for his reputation, and then a young boy. So we met at that time the old man and the young boy were there. And this elderly Shankaracharya has very high reputation. He'd undergone serious austerities and was very dedicated to what he was doing. And he was visibly effulgent. And he asked us to have kirtan, and he gave his blessings that Krishna Nam should shine all over the world. Pretty good. So he wasn't a Vaishnava, but because he was practicing something or had achieved something, spiritually speaking, so he was effulgent. And then what to speak of Srila Prabhupada? So many stories are there. Some policeman said, "That man is glowing." Prabhupada was notably effulgent. Sama sarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labhate param. Beyond the impersonal platform is the devotional platform, which is and on the devotional platform there are the neophyte devotees, then the more advanced and most advanced. So Srila Prabhupada, or here, the Navayogendras, were most advanced. They were on the highest transcendental platform of devotional service. And so when they came on the scene, Swarucha Rochamana, they lit up the place. They were effulgent, so brightly shining. The Kumaras also, when they would come someplace, their effulgence would be pronounced. It would be prominent. So this is a sign of a spiritually advanced person. We don't just go by a luminosity index, but it's a sign of a self-realized person, that he'll be bright. Even Prabhupada liked it when some priest, I think, commented that these boys are so bright-faced. And Prabhupada took that this is a sign, this is a quality of the Hare Krishna devotees, bright-faced. And several, I think, newspaper articles and so on mentioned bright-faced. Because nishochati, nakankshati, and mudbhakti, so naturally bright-faced. And here the Navayogendras, Swarucha, there's no question of their ornaments lighting up anything because they weren't wearing anything. But their own natural effulgence. Brahmaputra Praman Nava, they were like the Kumaras. This is very high praise because the Kumaras are very exalted in transcendental knowledge and realization. And Prapraccha Parama Prita Prashraya Vanato Nipa. The king, Nipa, placed questions before them. Prapraccha Parama Prita. He was extremely pleased, great priti. He was filled with love, actually, overjoyed. Parama Priti, Prita. And Prashraya Avanata Rupa. Kings are not generally known for being humble, but Vaishnava kings are humble. So Prashraya Avanata Avanataha. So he namaha, he offered his obeisances, bowing down, prashraya, with humility, humble mood, and praprachcha. He placed his questions. Tadviddhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. This is the formula or the right combination for approaching a saintly person. Samitpani shrotriyam brahmanishtam. One should have a mood of humility and service. Sir, how can I serve you? And then one can place questions. Not like the materialist. Okay, what's your philosophy? Why should I believe it? Why is Bhagavad Gita better than Bhagavad Gita? Not challenging. One may have questions. Not that one has to just pretend to know everything or to accept everything. One may have doubts, one may have questions. What is that? May samshayam Krishna. What is that? Etan may samshayam Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, 6th chapter. Etan may samshayam Krishna chetum arhasya sheshata. Tvadanya samshayas yasya cheta na yupapajite. I have big doubts here. You've just described this yoga system. What happens to a person who starts it and falls down? So, etan me samshaya. This is my doubt. So one may have doubts, one may have questions. And the intelligent person takes his doubts, takes his questions, and places them before the authority. But in a humble mood. Not in a challenging mood. If he takes the challenging mood, then he won't get the benefit. What is that? Asinas, no. Te kada tu muniya pratruhuta hutagneha. Satkritam sutamasina prapachcharitamadara. The Naimisharanya sages one day, Ekada, they offered a seat of respect to Suta Goswami, and prapachchu, they asked their questions, adarat, with great, adarat means respect, offering great respect to the speaker. Tvayakulu puranani saithihasani chanaka. You're very familiar with the Puranas, the Itihasas, the Dharma Shastras, the philosophies of the different acharyas. Yes. You've been endowed with all the favors that are bestowed on a humble disciple. So we accept you as the captain of our ship for crossing over the Kali Yuga. So they place their questions, but in a very humble mood, very submissive mood, because they accepted that he's a qualified person. We have questions on spiritual subject matters. Here's a highly qualified person capable of answering. So we'll put our questions here. Otherwise, with a challenging mood, sometimes someone would challenge Prabhupada, have you seen Krishna? Or some other such question. Prabhupada, if I tell you, will you accept? You know, otherwise, what's the use of asking? Have you attained self-realization? Have you seen Krishna? Have this, 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 this? And whatever you say, I won't believe you. Then what's the use of asking? Like if you're asking directions, you ask a person that you think can give you good directions. Otherwise, sir, how do I get to Flora Fountain? No, I don't believe it. Why ask? Or what makes you think that you know how to get to Flora Fountain? I'm not going to get any benefit. But excuse me, sir, could you give me directions? He sees that you're a gentleman. Yes. This way, this way, this way. So for approaching a saintly person, this is, as the purport says, the etiquette, or not only etiquette, but it's described etiquette with love and reverence. It's not only etiquette, but actually it should be felt. Etiquette means, you know, you follow some rules. So you're supposed to do this, you're supposed to do this, you're supposed to do this. Okay, I did this, I did this. When the queen comes in, you stand, and then you do this. But the sages, it wasn't just a matter of etiquette that, well, they look like they're pretty up there, so we should do this and this and this. They immediately appreciated, these are great self-realized souls. King Nimi saw, these are great self-realized souls. And they've come here. I'm performing a sacrifice, I'm only a king, but they've come. So he was overjoyed. And therefore, he bowed down, he offered respect, not just as a matter of formality, but from the genuine feeling of his heart, that how fortunate that these exalted souls, as it's said in elsewhere in the Bhagavatam about Shukadeva Goswami, you stay long enough to milk a cow, you're hardly seen in the home of a householder. The sannyasis and those kinds of, yes, sannyasis and renounced people, they don't spend a lot of time visiting with family people and kissing the babies and all of that kind of stuff. They come just rarely. And then they stay long enough to deliver a message and don't stay much longer than that. So the king was so grateful that they've come. These great yogendras have come to my place where I'm doing this worship. So I must take advantage. Praprachya. I must place questions of importance before them. Not waste their time. If they've come, why should I waste their time with chit-chat or anything else? Let me ask questions of great importance. So that we'll find, and this is the right combination. Self-realized souls who are conversant with the science, and a humble inquirer who's keen to know what he can learn. Okay, what questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, one fear is always we have in a Krishna consciousness once we came and we become a little bit serious, that we take spiritual life seriously from the beginning, but then a fear is there in our life that when we will be leaving our body, at that time our disease, our health problem will deteriorate more and more. And when the health problem will deteriorate more and more, and we are not so focused and fixed up in devotional life so seriously, and because we are not serious and focused in Krishna consciousness, in addition to that, because of the disease or some health problem comes up, there are chances that we might get deviated in devotional life and might not be able to think of Krishna at that time. And that fear is that we might miss the bus of devotional life. So how a neophyte devotee who is just struggling in Krishna consciousness and coming up can get some assurance in his life that I will not miss the bus, somehow or other Krishna will do something, and I will finish my business in this lifetime? Because what happens is, there are many factors which is absolutely out of our control. Our health problem, our conditioning is completely going out of the track, and we wanted to become completely fixed up at the time of death. So what should we do at that time?
One thing is that Krishna's, this was Arjuna's doubt, what if I get deviated? Nahi kalyanakrit kaschid durgatim tata kaschiti. Krishna assures Arjuna, even if you don't finish it, you want assurance that you'll finish it, you'll cross the goal in this lifetime. We don't give guarantees at the door. We encourage you. But suppose, for one reason or another, a person doesn't stick to the process. He goes away. Or he in some way becomes deviated. Nahi kalyanakrit kaschid durgatim. Still, it's his benefit. There's no loss. Svalpamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. It's his great gain. So that's the first point. Not that, well, if I can't get 100% by the time I leave, then I'm not even going to walk in the door. Whatever I can get is my eternal benefit. And janayati ashuvarati, very quickly one can make progress. But then the other side of your question, even Maharaj Kulashekar had this same concern. Krishna tudiya padapankaja panjarantam adyayva vishatume manasarvatams. Let me die now. Because now I'm in good health. My mind is reasonably clear. And I don't know at the time of death, as you said, what will happen. Will we be in dementia? Will we be just too cloudy to focus? Will we be in terrible pain? We don't know what will come at the end. Kapabitta Bayu would become all deranged at the time of death. So Kulashekar says, better that I die now. So even the advanced devotees or the perfect devotees are thinking that way. On the other side, Prabhupada assured us that you chant Hare Krishna and depend on Krishna. Yoga kshema vahamyaham. I'll take up the slack. Because it's not just a mechanical thing. In the 8th chapter, it's very mechanical. What is that? Shukla Krishna Gati Hyete Jagata Shashvate Mate Ekaya Yachana Vritim Anyaya Vartate Punaha. If you leave at these times, you go back to Godhead. You leave at those times, sorry. Shukla Krishna, what is that? Jyoti Shukla Aha. Let's get it. Shanmasa Uttarayanam Tatra Prayati Gachanti Brahma Brahma Vido Jana. It's 8. Yeah, Agnir Jyotiraha Shukla Shanmasa Uttarayanam. If you leave when the light is prominent, at the time of fire, these were all demigods. In the Shukla Paksha of the month, when the moon is waxing, or in the Uttarayana, when the sun is on the northern course, then you go back to Godhead. And Dumo Ratra Tata Krishna Sanmasa Dakshinayanam Tatra Chandramasam Jyoti Yogi Prapya Nivartate. And if you leave at the other times when smoke and darkness are prominent, in the time of the waning moon or in the Dakshinayana, then you go to the moon planet and then you come back. You don't attain the spiritual world. But then Krishna tells Arjuna, Naite Sriti Partajanan Yogi Muyati Kaschana. But the devotees are not bewildered by all of this. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu yoga yukto bhavaja. Just be engaged in devotional service. Don't worry about the Dakshinayana and the Uttarayana and the Jyoti and the Shukla and the Dhumo and the Ratris. Just chant Hare Krishna or just be engaged in devotional service. What is that? Ananya chintayanto mam yejana paryupasate tesham yukta vyuktana nitya vyuktana yogakshema. Krishna says, I'll take care of him. Yes. Because the devotee is dear to Krishna, and Krishna is dear to the devotee. So it's not a mechanical thing. Krishna looks at his watch and says, sorry, 5 minutes too late. It's about, what is that? Yayatamam prapadyante tamas tataya pajamya. As you love me, I love you. That verse is quoted for the devotee who's always engaged in my service. I come on Garuda to lift him out of the ocean of birth and death. So we have to depend on Krishna's kindness. That Krishna will, and if he doesn't deliver us, then we'll come back and we'll continue. The devotee is not obsessed with liberation. I must get free from birth and death, otherwise I'm out of here. If I come back, just let me, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is praying, at least if I can come back in the house of a Vaishnav, even as an insect, but if I can be in the house of a Vaishnav, good. I don't mind taking birth again, if I can have Vaishnava association. So we're not, I must have, Krishna must give me deliverance, he must take me back to Godhead in this lifetime, and if I don't get a guarantee, then I'm giving up the process. We expect that Krishna is kind if we seriously follow the process, and even if for some reason or other we're not able to chant, we're not able to focus, Krishna will take up the slack. Krishna will take up the slack. But otherwise, let me go on. And it's in Krishna's hands. From another point of view, karmanye vadikaraste mapaleshu kadachana. You do your duty and don't be fixed on the result must be there. This is not karma kanda. I think of Krishna, Krishna delivers me. If he doesn't deliver me, all bets are off, or all the deals off. My duty is to think of Krishna, manmana bhava mad bhakto. And Krishna says, mame vaishasi yuktvaiva matmanam matparayana. Don't worry, I'll take you. But our business is to serve Krishna and leave the rest of it up to him. From another just practical, that's philosophical, in a practical sense. Therefore, we don't want to string out death like the materialists. Somehow or other, let me stay alive by this method or that method. I may be, just keep me alive. Doesn't matter how many tubes are in my body, what kind of miserable condition, how brain dead I am, just let me stay alive. Why? Someplace there's a statistic that like 90% of the medical expenses are spent in the last year or something of life. Desperately we have to stay. Why? Let me go. If my notice has come, all right, that's a benediction from Krishna. Let me go. Not fight to the very last. So that by the time I get to the end, my brain is jelly and I can't think of anything. Better to go willingly.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, the problem is this way. Somehow, after hearing Prabhupada's books and after being in the association of devotees, we get a very clear clarity that this is a nasty place in this material world.
It is.
we just want to get out from this mess. We have gone in the right, wrong place. We have entered over here. Somehow it is very easy to enter, but extremely difficult to get out from this mess.
That conviction
we have got it. But what the problem for us is, on one side we have got a conviction, other side our anarthas have not gone. That is becoming a very big stumbling block. And on one side, one conviction is there, and other side, that blockage of anarthas is really making our life much more difficult. So what happens is, on one side we want to get out. We want to make it as a clarity that we don't want to go in any mother's womb anymore. We want to be very thorough. Other side, we become afraid that those anarthas are becoming a stumbling block. I am not coming to a pure devotional standard. And one side, I want to finish it out, and those anarthas will make me hurting up over here, and I won't be able to come.
That's the position of the devotee. He wants to go, but he knows that I can't be sure. And from another point of view, I can't depend on my own strength. I will focus my mind. You know, like Bhishma Dev could do that. He could leave at the moment of his choice, and he had the blessing from Krishna that he could die seeing the lotus feet. But how many of us can expect anything like that? So we have to just know that, you know, we're like little insects. And death can just squash us at any moment. So we can't say, I'll be Bhishma Dev, I'll leave at such and such moment with my mind perfectly fixed by my determination, by my practice, by my absorption in the literature. I'll make sure. We want to do all of those things. We want to be absorbed in the literature. We want to practice. But finally we know that I'm a little bug doing all of that. And what the result will be is entirely beyond my capability. It's not, I lock it in. Like a business deal, you know, I'm buying an apartment, I've got a contract, this is it. The apartment is mine. And if you don't give me that apartment on the day the contract says, then I'm going to sue the life out of you. It's not like that. Therefore, Sanatana Goswami says, what is the credential for going back to Godhead? Extreme humility. Not humility, extreme humility. And I don't, therefore Kulashekhar Maharaj is not praying. But because I'm engaged in your devotional service, it's 100% sure that I'm going back to Godhead, because after all I'm a pure devotee and I love you, you love me. I don't know. But therefore I simply have to depend on your mercy. Mercy of Krishna, mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, mercy of the spiritual master. As Giriraj Maharaj said, we're all mercy cases. Okay.
Maharaj, what should we do when we are about to leave our body, helpless, hopeless, completely out of our track, the bodily, all the functionings are out of the track. In that situation, that helplessness and hopelessness consciousness doesn't get missed. Hopeless. That hopelessness and helplessness consciousness, which we are supposed to keep it in our life, that doesn't get missed at the last moment of our life.
Therefore we try for some auspicious departure to be in the association of the Vaishnavas. Just like Prabhupada's departure was ideal. If I'm going to die, not Rishikesh, Vrindavan. Let me go to Vrindavan. Then in Vrindavan, surrounded by the Vaishnavas, and always hearing the holy name, and engaged in service to the last. Engaged in service to the last. So that was Prabhupada's example. So as far as possible, we want to be, and to get the blessings of the Vaishnavas also. Therefore, Prabhupada, even meeting his god brothers, about whom so many things could be said and were said by Prabhupada, Prabhupada begged them, please forgive me. I said some things for the sake of preaching, but you please forgive me. So we want the blessings of the Vaishnavas, we want the association of the Vaishnavas, we want to leave with, as far as possible, a clean slate. Not that I leave behind me a trail of people that I've offended and whose negative thoughts are there about me and my negative thoughts are there about them. But we try to live in that fortunate state. Where Prabhupada, he sometimes said that he wanted to die on the battlefield. So in New York he said, if I die, just bury me here on the roof. Doesn't matter, Vrindavan, Mayapur, Puri, Paris, London, New York, Faridabad, the worst possible place, some industrial town. If we can die preaching, then that's also a very fortunate to be engaged in the service of Krishna to the last. So Prabhupada did all of those things. He's engaged in the service of Krishna to the last. He was in Vrindavan. He was surrounded by the Vaishnavas. He was hearing the holy name. Everything. So Mahajana Yena Katasa Panta, as far as possible. Even by remembering that example, we become purified.
Specifically in a household life, the biggest problem is when you are about to leave your body, at that time, that attachment with the wife, to the children, to the property.
Therefore, one should get rid of those things. Seriously. That if I'm 70, 80, then I'm going to die. 60, 70, 80 means I'm on the threshold of death. Maybe today, maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, maybe in a few years. But I'm already on the threshold. You know, you're like, you're walking in the door, you're not yet in the house, but you're right there on the doorstep, on the porch. The door is looking at you. Therefore, one is advised to detach oneself before one reaches that stage. Therefore, Vanaprastha Ashram is there. Not to stay attached, my house, my wife, my children, my grandchildren, this one's wedding, this one's graduation, this one's birthday party, this one's this, all social nephews, something. Janasya moho yamaham mameti. Vanaprastha life means getting free from that. And there are different, this is a long discussion, different ways of accepting the Vanaprastha ashram, but the main theme is to get free from that false identity. That I'm such and such, this is my wife, these are my children, I'm the servant of Krishna also. That's all. And maybe my wife stays with me, but she's just a servant of Krishna also. She's not my object of enjoyment or my provider of happiness and comfort. She's my last attachment. And that also, if possible, will completely give up. So the Vanaprastha Ashram is not just a formality or a social kind of a convention. Okay, now for so many years I've been this, now I'm going to be that. But it's preparation for this test that you're talking about, that I have to leave this world. And if I'm leaving with so many attachments, how will I become successful? So the Grihastha Ashram is endorsed, even encouraged, but not as a lifetime engagement. For a certain time, even just like some practical thing, to be the CEO or to be something like that, it's not till they put you in the grave, the last day you're still there, befuddled but refusing to give up one inch of your authority and power and position. At a certain point you say, all right, I've done this, I've brought the company to this stage, and now it's time for me to retire. Young men are coming up, they're trained, they're the future of the company, and I'm probably in the way. So let me get out and let them do it. That's good practice in business. Not that I stay till the very, very last day messing things up because I'm out of touch with what's really going on. And even if I am in touch, even if I'm doing it well, good, if I'm doing my job well, then my successor should be there and he should be well trained and I can leave nicely. That's a duty. The kings would do that. The Pandavas retired timely. And so many other kings. They left to the forest. They retired. Dhritarashtra was the exception. Now Dhritarashtra is the rule. Prabhupada said, in every house there's a Dhritarashtra. So we shouldn't be in the Dhritarashtra Sampradaya. We're in the Sampradaya of great devotees like Prabhupada, who gave up family life. For some time he was vanaprastha, then sannyas, lokanam hitakarino, for the benefit of others. Otherwise, where would we be? Not that we stick to all of this home, wife, children, birthday parties, paraphernalia, till the very end, and then pray to Krishna, oh Krishna, I'm so attached to my wife, I'm so attached to my, please take me and break all my attachments. Somebody, I was reading some memory of someone, of different memories of Srila Prabhupada, and someone was saying, I forget if it was Giriraj Maharaj or someone else, that he went to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada made this point, that it's not that you just wait for Krishna's mercy. You have to do the work. We have to do the work and then depend on Krishna's mercy. So this is one of the functions of the progressive life of a devotee. He performs his duties as a brahmachari, then perhaps as a grihastha, then next stage vanaprastha, then if possible sannyas. He cultivates that, and it's a question of mentality. It's not just formal. Just as the king here is receiving the Navayogendras, not just as a matter of formality, but because he has that pure consciousness. These great souls have come. So we should have that consciousness. I don't want to be attached and have to be yanked out of all these attachments somehow. Or not yanked out of them, just yanked out of my body with all my attachments in place and still lodged in the subtle body. I want to dissolve those attachments. Because as long as I'm attached to this material world, how can I go to the spiritual world? So it's a serious, serious project.
Is it not so the ideal situation for a householder is when he can be very clear to all his family members that we are doing this process from accepting grihastha life to go for vanaprastha life, but ideally if we don't reach to that standard, we don't reach to the ideal standard of vanaprastha life, he can give a specific instruction to his family members, his wife and children, that I am on the last days of my life, when about to leave my body, please don't come in front of me, specifically to your wife and children, because at that time I might not be able to do anything. It's a distraction to him to have unnecessarily all the things which he has done with his wife and his children. He might be thinking of those things and leave his body. Instead of that, if at all they don't come in front of them, at least to some extent he'll not be able to think of them and think of Krishna and leave the body.
Hmm. That may be there. That's his... If he has that feeling, he can do that. But best thing is that he's moved on. So they don't even think, now I have to go. Now, or even if they show up, it's like, oh yeah, those were the people from my previous life. But it's not. You know, that's there. Socrates, when he was dying, he was, due to political opposition, he was forced to drink poison. And he was surrounded by his admirers, disciples. He sent the women out. Because they'll cry and they'll, you know, that's the natural. So they went out, and then one of his followers, I think it was Plato, he was also crying. Or anyway, whichever one it was, he was also crying. He said, why are you crying? That's why I sent the women out. You're supposed to know the philosophy. Because Socrates also understood that I'm not this body. He had that understanding. So why are you lamenting over the body? That's why I drank the poison, because it doesn't matter. The body may stay or not stay. So why are you crying? I'm not crying. Why are you crying? But it's not that we remain attached to wife, children, and so on, and then just slip them a note, don't come. We should actually develop that maturity, both husband and wife and children, that this is Krishna consciousness. Then even if the children come, wife comes, then they're Vaishnavas. Just like Prabhupada's sister was there at Prabhupada's departure. So Prabhupada didn't say, oh, send that woman out. If I see a woman at the time of death, I will never go back to Godhead. No. But he wasn't thinking, this is my sister only. Vaishnavi. Vaishnavi. Oh, Vaishnavi is there means Krishna is there. Vaishnavas, Vaishnavis. We should try to come to that platform. That we see everyone. Of course, sannyasis, the wife can't be there. That's very definite. He's not supposed to be where he is. That's very particular. Prabhupada said, my sons may come see me. He said, but not my wife. That's the rule for the sannyasis. Vanaprasthas, grahasthas, it's up to their own judgment. All right. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, samaveta bhakta vrinda ki jai, gaur premanande.